Welcome to the RevUp Dental podcast. My name is Nick Fotash, the founder of RevUp Dental, and in this episode, we're going to explore the best and most effective marketing that you can do in 2024 to drive more new patients. At RevUp Dental, we've spent years and millions of dollars per year doing marketing for dental practices all across North America and helping them drive more new patients. We have a good sense of what works, what doesn't work, and more importantly, how things have been changing over time. Trying to figure out what kind of marketing you need to do to drive more patients is like trying to navigate a maze. It's very easy to get lost, waste time, waste money, and ultimately achieve little to no results. SEO companies tell you that SEO is the best investment you can make. Companies who sell social media tell you that SEO is a waste of time and that you need to invest in social media. Flyer companies keep trying to sell you flyers. My hope with this podcast is to help you better understand and successfully navigate this maze. Unfortunately, there's no simple, just do this and it always works kind of answers like many marketing companies are trying to pitch. The key to success is for you, the dentist, to better understand the different types of marketing available, how they work, the pros and cons between them, and importantly, how the consumer behavior has changed over time. In order for you to decide on what strategy works best for the type of practice you want to run or the type of patients you're trying to attract. In this episode, we're going to cover a wide array of different marketing strategies and how each of them can be very successful if done correctly. I hope you enjoy this episode, and if you do, please consider leaving us a like, a share, maybe a comment, because this engagement helps us tremendously in reaching and helping more dentists just like you. Thank you for listening. So in the last video, we talked about what you can do on your dental website in 2024 to, you know, start off with a bang and drive a lot more new patients. If you missed that video, you can find it in the description down below. Highly recommend that you check that out first. Now, in this video, we're going to talk about what you can do in terms of marketing in 2024 to drive more patients through the door, to get more butts in the chair, and to have a really strong 2024 and, you know, bring a lot of patients to your practice. Let's get started. Okay, so the first thing that you need to understand about marketing, if you want to be successful with it, is that it doesn't really matter what you do for marketing. Everything from social media to flyers to, you know, newspaper ads to whatever kind of marketing you want to do can work wonders if you do it well, or it can ultimately be a complete waste of time and money. So a lot of dentists come to me and they ask, you know, should I do TikTok? Should I do Facebook? Should I do SEO? Should I do Google Ads? And honestly, it really doesn't matter all that much. Really, at the end of the day, what it's going to come down to is quality. So the reason a lot of dentists don't see great results with marketing is they kind of spread themselves really thin. They try a little bit of everything. And it seems logical from their point of view. You know, they don't really know what's going to work for them. Their practice is unique. The area they're in is unique. And they think to themselves, well, I'll try a couple different things. And if I see that it's getting good results, then I'll do more of it. And if it's not getting good results, then I'll stop doing it. And this sounds like a very rational, very logical strategy. But in practice, what ends up happening is you are doing a lot of different things and you're basically just doing a half-assed job at everything. And you're going to find that nothing really works. So we get a lot of dentists that, you know, when we present them with a marketing plan, they say to us, oh, I already tried SEO, or, you know, I tried social media. I tried, you know, whatever strategy we're presenting them with. It doesn't work. You know, I already spent money on that before. You know, it just doesn't really work. And we tell them that it didn't work, not because it's not a good strategy or it can't work. It didn't work because you basically did a half-assed job at it. And there's some dentists that have gotten like really offended by that. And I have to like, you know, stop them and say like, hey, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to, you know, insult you here. But let's look at this logically. When you look at your website, when you look at your social media or whatever, you know, the topic is about, are you really number one at that? I mean, if you look at all the other practices in your area, is your website better than all of them? Are your photos better? If you're doing social media, is your social media, can you say here with complete, you know, honesty that yes, we do a better job than the 100 other offices in our area? Like, what exactly are you number one at? And oftentimes they just kind of sit there and they say, well, okay, like we're not number one, but I don't think we did a terrible job. And I tell them, Yeah, you're right. I never said you did a terrible job. I said you did a half-ass job, okay? So it's not horrible. It's not at the bottom, okay? Like whatever you built. But you've also admitted that it's not at the top either, is it? Right? So if you're not at the top and you're not at the bottom, that means you must be somewhere, you know, in the middle, somewhere at the halfway point. Okay, that's the textbook definition of doing a half-ass job. It doesn't mean you did a terrible job, it just means you put in half the effort. And here's the problem. When you put in half the effort into something, you don't get half the results. You don't get any results, okay? Because marketing, by its very nature, is a very competitive sport. You are competing with other dentists to attract those patients, to convince them that you are a better choice. So think of it like this. Imagine you are competing in a car race. You know, you are showing up to the race and you're competing with 99 other people. You know, you have 100 people in this race. Let's say you come in 10th place. That, you know, in from a certain point of view, you could say that is very impressive because out of 100 race car drivers, you beat 90 of them. You're in the top 10%. But now tell me, what kind of prize or what sort of medal do you get for coming in 10th place? You don't get anything, okay? Because the world doesn't celebrate the 10th place winner of a contest. And similarly, a patient isn't gonna pick who they think is the 10th best dentist, right? So if you're spreading yourself thin and you're just doing a little bit of everything, it's almost like you're competing in a lot of different sports and you're not really doing a great job at any of them. And then you're wondering, you know, what kind of sport do I need to do to make money? It doesn't really matter. You could be very successful with any of them if you actually did it well. So even though it might seem safer or more rational, more logical to, you know, try a couple of things and see what works, in practice, you're way better off just picking just about anything and spending 6 to 12 months getting really good at it and, you know, basically beating everybody else in your area when it comes to that type of activity, whether it's social media, whether it's flyers, it doesn't really matter. Okay, so with that out of the way, let's talk about what are some marketing activities that you can do in 2024, what are the pros and cons, what can, you know, drive more butts in the chair for you. So the number one problem with marketing is that there's just too many choices, right? It feels like you're in a maze where, you know, should I do social media? Should I try Google Ads? Should I try this? And like we said, it doesn't really matter, you know, you pick one of them, the one that you sort of like, and you stick with it. That's usually a better strategy than just, you know, spreading yourself too thin. But it makes it a lot easier if you think about marketing as almost everything you could do to drive patients or customers in any kind of business really sort of falls into one of four major categories. And if you understand what's, you know, how those categories of activities work, the pros, the cons, you're going to be in a much better position to decide like what sort of resonates with you more, what sort of strategy, you know, kind of aligns with the way that you want to run this practice. So category number one, pretty simple, is referrals, okay? So referrals are a very, you know, straightforward strategy. A customer comes in, a patient comes in, if you deliver exceptional dental care and exceptional customer service, that patient is going to turn from patient to repeat patient. Okay, so a customer to repeat customer, and they're going to keep coming back. Okay, now every time they come back, if you continue to deliver amazing dental care, amazing customer service, that person is going to like you more, trust you more. You're basically going to build more trust and a rapport with them, and eventually they will transform from a repeat patient to a promoter. Okay, and they're going to talk about you to their friends, their family, their colleagues because they like you, they trust you, they think you're a great person to, you know, you're a great dentist to go to. And, you know, they're going to promote you to their friends, family, and colleagues, and that's going to get you referrals. And then the whole cycle basically continues. It's important to understand that every dental practice, and we've worked with hundreds, okay, they all get referrals. And the number one problem with referrals, in my opinion, is every dentist thinks they're great at getting referrals, okay? But from working with hundreds of dental offices, and we, you know, monitor tens of thousands of new patient calls every month using our software, I can tell you that some dental practices are significantly better at attracting referrals than others. And in fact, I will go so far as to say that probably 90% of dental offices in North America, the level of customer service they think they're offering versus what they're really offering is, you know, there's a huge difference between the two. Okay, so what do I mean by that? Well, almost every practice we've ever worked with, when we ask them, you know, what sets you apart from your competition, we almost always hear, well, you know, we treat patients like family. And I can tell you from, you know, listening to tens of thousands of calls a month, more often than not, if a dentist was to hear how their staff actually treat new patients, they'd be pretty shocked. So look at this example. This is a dentist who, again, when we started working with him, he felt that, you know, my marketing is just not really up to par. And every time we suggested that, you know, maybe it's a staff issue, maybe you are getting a lot of leads, but maybe the staff isn't converting them very well. I mean, he just instantly dismissed the notion. He said, you know, my staff's been with me for years. They're wonderful. Patients love them. And it wasn't until we stopped and we, you know, started playing recordings for him of, you know, how his staff actually treat patients that, you know, he sent us this email and he said, you know, I can't believe this is my staff. And it's not the only case. I mean, here's another example where, you know, a dentist, you know, felt that my staff's been phenomenal. But then once she actually started to listen to what was going on, you know, while she's in the operatory, she's not paying attention to how her staff are treating patients. You know, she was ultimately really shocked. And it's not just dentists. Often the office managers are really caught off guard as well. I mean, here's an example where, you know, there was a really bad call where the staff member was very rude and dismissive to a patient. And when we showed this to the manager, she was like really shocked that this was going on. She said, you know, this is the worst dental phone call I've seen, you know, on her part in the last 2 years. But it's like, what do you mean the last 2 years, the worst one you've seen in the last 2 years? You're not recording any calls until we came along and we set up the system. You weren't doing anything to monitor what they were doing. Like, you have to be pretty delusional to think that this wasn't going on before. This is just the first time you caught it, right? So think of it like, you know, oh, before we installed these cameras, you know, people weren't really stealing. We've only started to notice theft once we put the cameras up. I think maybe it's the cameras, right? It doesn't really make any sense. So if you really want to focus on referrals, you want to maximize how many referrals your practice gets, I mean, you first of all need an accountability system. You actually need to track and see, you know, what level of customer service are we offering to patients? What are we saying when certain problems come up? I'll give you another example. So most offices, in fact, every office that we talk to, if we were to ask the staff, hey, if someone calls to cancel an appointment, do you offer them another time, right? Like, is it normal for your practice to, you know, try to work with the patient and see if you can get them in at another time? Or do you just kind of cancel the appointment and go on your way? Most staff are like offended when we even ask this question. They say like, obviously we ask people like, what do you think? You know, like, what do you think? We're, you know, we just started this job yesterday. We've been doing this for a long time. Of course we ask. But then we play recordings for them of their staff literally getting a cancellation call and just saying to the patient, okay, no problem. I've canceled Wednesday. You know, let us know when you want to come back. Bye. And then you're in this meeting with the dentist and he looks at his office manager and he says, whoa, what the heck is going on? And the office manager says, oh, well, actually, no, this was a bad patient. You don't know the full history of it. He actually canceled a bunch of appointments. So that's why we did it like that, because we actually didn't want the patient back. Now, maybe that's true. Okay. But then I would play another call and another call and another call and another call where their staff are purely, you know, they're not really, they don't seem to be trying to rebook any of the patients. At this point, the dentist is like looking at the office manager, and the office manager, you can see they're squirming a little bit, and they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. You know, I taught them that they need to be asking patients. I thought they were asking everybody. I'm going to give them a talking to, you know. But when you think about it, it's like you're being paid to monitor these people. Clearly, you're not doing a very good job at it if this is happening underneath your nose. And the reality is it happens all the time because office managers are busy. They can't sit there and just like listen to, you know, every single call that comes in. I mean, it's not practical. They're trying to juggle a lot of different things in the day. And you would think that if you're sitting there with the staff day to day, you would pick up on things like that. But I can tell you, most of the time they don't and they can't because, you know, there's no accountability system built in, right? Now, I've also had it happen where, you know, the office manager says that and, you know, does this whole song and dance about how she's so shocked that this is happening. And I say to them, what are you talking about? You do the exact same thing too. And I play recording after recording of the office manager also taking cancellation calls and not putting in any effort to rebook the patient. So the moral of the story is, if you really want to deliver exceptional customer service, you can't just pat yourself on the back and say, oh yeah, we already do that, without, you know, having any sort of accountability system? Do you track your calls? Do you listen to your calls? How do you know this is happening? You would not believe how many dentists we work with that think, oh no, I'm in the office every day. Like my office is right beside the staff. I mean, if things like this were happening, I would pick up on it. And I can tell you that most people are shocked at what they find. I'll give you the craziest example of all. Early on in our career with RevUp Dental, we had a client that hired us for driving more Invisalign leads. And we did a lot of marketing to get phone calls for people calling in for Invisalign. Now this client came back to us and said, I'm not seeing results. I haven't really seen any Invisalign patients come in. Why the heck am I paying you guys all this money? What the heck are you doing for me? Like obviously very frustrated. And this was in the early stages. So we were just starting to develop our accountability system. Then we started analyzing her calls and we were really shocked to discover that one of their receptionists who had been there for, 4, 5, 6 months, something like that. Every time somebody was calling about Invisalign, she would tell patients, I don't think we do that here. And the patient was really confused because, they clicked on an Invisalign ad. They went to the website. It talked about how, this particular office did Invisalign. So you would ask thinking maybe he called the wrong office and say, is there somewhere else that does it in this area? And this receptionist would refer people to their competitor down the street. And, when we told them about this, they thought there's no way this is happening. I mean, we basically had to play the recordings for them to prove that it was actually true. Have a listen for yourself.
You're checking for braces, you said?
Yeah, but the invisible ones that you just put in, I forgot what they're called.
Invisalign?
Yeah, that.
We don't do Invisalign braces at our office.
Now, here's the crazy thing. The office manager of this practice sat beside this receptionist every single day. And, when we showed her when you hear that she's saying, I don't think we do that here, wouldn't you say something? And honestly, the office manager never picked up on it. So don't think that just because, I'm in the office, I'm around my staff, I would know if things like this are happening. Believe me, you probably wouldn't. Now, there are some downsides to referrals as well. So referrals can get you some very high quality patients. They're probably gonna be the highest quality patients of any kind of marketing activity that you can do. But there are downsides to referrals as well. So the primary one is, it tends to be very up and down. You don't really have a lot of control over referrals. I mean, 1 week you might get 10 patients coming in because of a referral. The next week, maybe none or very few. The week after that, who knows, right? So it causes a lot of up and downs. And generally as you grow your practice, the expenses go up as well, right? So you have higher payroll, higher office expenses, equipment, supplies. It's very expensive to run a dental office, but your expenses are very fixed, right? And it's not like you can go to your, landlord and say, hey, I've had a really bad month. I only got half the referrals that I got last month. Is it okay if I only pay half the rent or half the lease? No, obviously not, right? Imagine going to your staff and saying, hey, we had a really slow month. We didn't really get a lot of referrals. Can I only pay you half your salary instead? Because, we only got half the referrals last month. No, obviously not, right? So when you depend on just referrals, if that's your only real strategy, you're going to be in for, some ups and downs. And generally that can be very financially and very emotionally stressful. Okay, now let's talk about category number two. So number two is networking. These are activities like, sponsoring a local kid's soccer team, being involved in the community, doing charity work, going to a school and doing a presentation for kids about the importance of your oral health, going to, some sort of an event, handing out toothbrushes, meeting people in the community. This is a really great activity if you have a practice in a small town, because in a small town, people definitely notice the dentist who is involved in that community versus the dentist that maybe bought the office there, but he lives in a bigger city far away and he just drives in to just do a little bit of dentistry, but he doesn't really care about that town. At the end of the day, he drives home. I can tell you in small towns, people notice things like that. They notice the dentist that shows up to the Santa Claus parade or shows up to the, community events. So in a small town, these types of activities actually are quite important. You're going to get noticed for that. networking and events are also really great for startups, because for startups, when you like set up a new website, you're not really, it's going to be really tough to rank high on Google very quickly. You'd either have to be spending a lot of money on ads. So, and often, you know, a startup doesn't have a whole lot of money left to spend on marketing, you know, after building in the office, and, you know, they probably still have student loans that they got to pay off. So just, you know, rolling up your sleeves and going to some events and meeting some of the people in that town is a really good way to drive more patients. We've got clients who, you know, set up a booth at a local university every time, you know, new students come in, like during Frosh Week. They hand out some toothbrushes, they give special promotions to students, and they'll generate 50, 60 patients just from, you know, half a day of setting up a table and handing out some stuff. I mean, it's a very powerful activity. The downside of networking is that while it doesn't really cost you much money, you know, it does cost you a lot of time. And as you get busier and as your practice grows, you might not really have a whole lot of time to do these sort of events. The other sort of drawback is you need the right personality type to do these sort of events. If you're somebody that's very introverted, and you know, it might surprise you, but I'm actually one of these people, I don't enjoy going to events. I don't enjoy chit-chatting with people all the time. It can be very draining to do these types of activities. So you either need to be the type of dentist that like really loves socializing, you really love getting to know people, that's gonna be a great fit for you. Or alternatively, you have staff members that are these types of people. They love getting out there, they love being involved, they love to chat with people. If you've got employees like this, they can be fantastic to invest in sending them out to a different events or organizing different like community involvement. For example, you can do a food drive, and you can, you know, tell your patients, hey, we're raising a bunch of money and a bunch of food for homeless shelters. When you come in for your checkup and cleaning, you know, bring some canned food that you have lying around that you're not using. We're going to do this event. You know, that's a really great way to like build a lot of rapport with people in your community. So if you've got the right people, it can be a fantastic activity. If you're not, don't have the right personality type, it tends to just be a waste of time. Okay, next we have outbound marketing. So this is what most dentists think about when it comes to marketing, right? You're talking social media ads, Google ads, flyers, you know, putting an ad in the newspaper, taking out a billboard, things of that nature. It's a basic idea of, you know, you pay to play, you pay to reach an audience. Now, it's very powerful. I mean, paid advertising, you know, outbound marketing, it definitely works. You can attract a lot of patients using this. The other major advantage of it is it's very scalable. So if you're getting, for example, if you're spending $2,000 on Google ads or Facebook ads or something like that, and you're getting a lot of leads, you're happy with the sort of performance. If you want to double your patient flow, you can probably just double your budget, and you're going to see an immediate increase in how many patients are calling you. So it definitely works. It's super scalable. And the other major advantage is you don't really have to do much. I mean, you basically just have to sign a check. You don't have to be involved. You don't have to, you know, go to events and meet people and talk to people. You don't really have to do much. You can just sit in the operatory, you know, sign a check, and you're going to get the phone to ring if you're doing outbound marketing. Now let's talk about the downsides. And, you know, there's a very significant one. It's very expensive to do this. Okay. So if you're trying to attract patients by just paying for advertising, you know, it's a lot of money if you want to get a lot of new patients coming in, and it tends to increase pretty drastically over time. So let me give you an example. So we do millions of dollars of advertising on Google Ads every year, like Google AdWords and other platforms as well. And we've monitored since 2020 till the end of 2023, how effective has Google Ads been? And generally what we've seen is that if you were to spend $1,000 on Google Ads in, let's say, the end of 2020, you know, and you got a certain amount of patience for that, what would you have to spend in 2023, or, you know, end of 2023, maybe start of 2024? What would you have to spend to drive the same amount of patients that you only spent $1,000 to get in 2020? And the answer is a bit shocking. It tends to be above $3,000. In, you know, the average was $3,800. It really depends on where you are and how much competition there is, but generally speaking, you know, a dollar spent on Google Ads at the end of 2020, to get the same results today, you'd be spending probably $3 to $4, right? So, you know, why is that? Well, generally in, you know, outbound marketing and paid marketing, you know, these companies are auctioning off the visibility to the highest bidder, okay? So the way Google Ads works, and, you know, social media, really any sort of like paid advertising channel, is, you know, you're competing against other dentists for that visibility. So in terms of Google Ads, you know, your campaign is essentially bidding against other dental practices that want to get that traffic. So somebody goes online, they search for, you know, dentist near me or dentist in Toronto or whatever. Google, you know, contacts all the different Google Ads campaigns for, you know, for dentists in that area. And they essentially say, hey, we've got somebody who is looking for a dentist. Okay, this is what you want to advertise for. Your campaign is bidding, you know, your campaign bids $1. The other guy's campaign bids $2. Another guy bids $3, right? Like, think of it like an auction, right? And, you know, eventually you get to a campaign that is willing to spend the most money. And, you know, the gavel comes down and it's like, okay, sold. The number one position for the ad is sold to, you know, ABC Dental, okay? Now this happens in milliseconds, okay? So think of it like your Google Ads campaign, and this is the same thing that happens on Facebook, on TikTok, on really any sort of these platforms where you're basically auctioning off visibility. Your campaign is like the person, you know, you're a wealthy investor, you send off one of your minions to go to an auction for, you know, he's on the phone with you, and you know, he's bidding on your behalf. That's kind of like what's happening here. So since from 2020 to 2023, 2024, what's happened is a lot of dentists have stopped spending money on flyers and newspapers and things like that. And they realize that, you know, the way of the future is definitely digital. I mean, people in my operatory are sitting on their phone. They're not reading the newspaper. They're not reading a magazine. They're not going through flyers, right? They're sitting on their phone. So this is where I got to be. This is where I got to spend money. And as you have more people sort of entering this arena, this race, what you need to spend in order to stay competitive continues to go up and up and up. Now, in 2024, there's a lot of dental practices out there across North America that will spend $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a month on paid advertising. And to many dentists, this kind of seems like just ludicrous. But if you stop and think about it, it's absolutely worth it, because if you look at how much the average patient will spend, you can make a huge return on investment. So just think about it. The average patient that comes in, they're probably gonna do a x-ray, a checkup, a cleaning. You know, that might cost $300, $400, $500. Most of these patients, you know, you're not gonna look at their mouth and discover that your teeth are perfect, there's nothing wrong with you. No, there's always, you know, almost always there's a problem. They might need a filling or two. They might need a crown. They might need an implant. I mean, 60, 70, 80% of the time, you're going to find something wrong with their mouth. If you're not, then that's a problem. It's almost like you're too afraid to diagnose treatment. But, you know, guaranteed most dentists, and we work with hundreds of them, when they get a new patient, they do a comprehensive exam, they're definitely going to find something wrong with their mouth in the vast majority of cases. Now, after they fix that initial problem, which, you know, again, might cost a couple hundred to a couple thousand dollars, most patients will keep coming back. They're going to come back every 6 months for hygiene. But not every patient comes twice a year. There are also maybe 20, 30% of your patients are gonna come three times a year. Maybe 5, 10% of them will come four times a year if they have, you know, perio issues, and you educate them on the importance of, you know, coming back more frequently so they can get back on track if their insurance covers it. There are patients out there that are absolutely willing to come four times a year. Next, think about, you know, most patients are not going to come to you for 1 or 2 years. They're probably going to come to your practice for 5, 10, 15 years. If you're in a big city that has a lot of young professionals that are always coming and going, sure, maybe, you know, if you're in New York or Toronto or Chicago or, you know, maybe a major city, you'll have people that might only come for 3 to 5 years on average, right? But, and if you're in a small town, they'll come more often. But generally speaking, patients will come for a number of years. And on top of that, think that most of your patients are not single bachelors, which means when they call to get an appointment, there's a good chance they're also gonna bring their husband, their wife, their kid, their grandma, you know, basically their whole family. So when you factor all this in, you know, even though you're spending tens of thousands of dollars on paid advertising, if it's generating hundreds of thousands of dollars in production over the next 6 to 12 months, it's definitely a good return on investment. Also, think of it from the perspective of, you know, when you go to sell your practice, the number one thing that is going to determine the value of your practice is how many active patients you have. You're not going to, the value of your practice isn't going to be primarily determined by your upholstery, okay, or what color your logo is, or what kind of carpets you have in the office. It's going to be based on how many active patients you have. And in some parts of North America, every active patient can add another $5,000, $6,000, $1,000 to the valuation of your office. So even though in 2020, maybe it cost you $100 or $150 using, you know, paid ads to get a new patient, let's say that cost you $300, $400 in, you know, 2024, it's still worth it. It still drives a lot of value. And that's why the costs have gone up. I mean, a lot of dentists are putting money into digital marketing, into paid advertising. And in within that group of dentists, which is ever growing, you have a lot of really smart dentists that sat down and did the math and realized that actually this is a phenomenal investment. Because if I spend $10,000 on, you know, putting money into a savings account at a bank or some sort of stock or some sort of like, you know, guaranteed, you know, GIC or some sort of term deposit, I'm not going to make the amount of money that I can make if I invest that money into growing my practice. But all this means is, you know, you are essentially competing with your wallet. Now, there is another major drawback that a lot of people don't consider when it comes to outbound marketing. Most of the leads that you're going to get from your perspective and the perspective of your staff, they're going to seem like low quality. And it's not really true, but essentially what happens is if somebody's searching for a dentist and you just run an ad, I'm not calling you because I like you, I trust you, I think you're the best choice. I'm calling you because you just, I happen to need a dentist, you showed up somewhere, but I'm not dead set on going with you necessarily. So think of it like if I go to my mailbox and I get three flyers from different dental offices that, you know, hey, come and get a new patient exam with us. I'm not dead set on going to any particular one. I might call all three and I'll see sort of, you know, who has the best price, who's closer to me, who sounds nicer, who sounds better. So a lot of the leads that you're going to get are not people that are sitting there with their credit card ready to, you know, put down a deposit. I mean, they're just shopping around. They're just trying to figure out, should I go to you or should I go to the 50 other dentists that are in this area? And if you're not prepared for how to deal with patients, like if your team isn't particularly good at sales, you're gonna find that a lot of these people don't end up booking with you. And often we hear from staff that, oh, he's just a price shopper, or oh, they just weren't serious. It's like, no, they were serious. They definitely went somewhere to fix their teeth. Like nobody's gonna call you about Invisalign, you know, for out of the blue. They're not calling to make a friend, okay? Like there aren't people out there that wake up and they have a perfect set of teeth and they decide, you know, today what I really want to find out is how much does Invisalign cost? You know, let me call some dental offices and figure it out. These people are serious. Like when someone calls a dentist, they're not calling them to make a friend. Okay, they want to buy dentistry. What they're not sure about is if they should buy it from you or the 20, 30, 50, 100 other dentists in the area. So of course they're going to shop around, but they're not necessarily shopping for the lowest price. And we also tell staff, or, you know, we ask them, how do you know you're not the lowest price? Like, how much do you charge for Invisalign versus what does everyone else in the area charge? And I can tell you from, you know, talking to hundreds of practices, I cannot recall one that ever knew what their competitors charge for a particular service. Most people just sort of follow whatever the fee guide is for their particular area or for, you know, the board that certified them as a dentist. So, you know, they're not shopping for price. They're basically trying to figure out, you know, should I go to you or should I go to, you know, many other options that I have available. So if your staff isn't particularly good at sales, they don't know how to engage with patients, they don't know how to leave them with a really good first impression, a lot of these patients won't book. Now you might be thinking, okay, well, that means they need training, right? We need to train them on sales. And sometimes that works. You could, you know, teach them, hey, here's how you take these calls. If the patient asks about price, here's what you say, here's what you ask, here's how you change the conversation, here's the information you give them so that you leave them with a really good first impression. You know, that's all possible. But then you run into another problem people don't consider. Your staff probably don't want to be salespeople. Okay, so no amount of training, like training tends to not be effective in a lot of cases purely because you have staff that don't want to do sales, okay? If they wanted to do sales, I mean, think about it. Why did they become a dental receptionist then? Why didn't they go into sales? Why didn't they go into become a real estate agent or to go sell cars? I mean, as a real estate agent or, you know, even selling cars, some of these people make more money than surgeons, right? So if they're really motivated by sales, I mean, why wouldn't they have gone into that position? Because they don't want to. Most receptionists see themselves as medical administrators. That's what they want to do. They don't want to be salespeople. On top of that, most offices are not set up and don't want to be set up to run like a car dealership, right? There's no commissions. There's no sales bonuses. There's no sales manager. You know, they don't, most dentists don't want to run that kind of a business. And you see the practices that do. They spend thousands of dollars on advertising. They have really good salespeople, but then you have a flood of bad reviews saying, you know, every time we call this office, they're always trying to like squeeze me for everything my insurance will pay for. You know, they're super salesy, they're super pushy. It's like, yeah, because they spend tens of thousands of dollars a month on marketing, they basically need to convert you. You know, they need to make their money back. So to be really effective with outbound marketing, you need to align your entire practice, your organization to fit that sort of model. You basically have to become a little bit more like a car dealership trying to sell a car. And I'm not making any judgments. It's not a bad thing. It's just the problem most dentists run into is they realize, you know, my staff don't want to do that. That's not the kind of practice they want to work for. I don't want to have a practice that has bonuses and incentives and it's all about money. And, you know, if your mentality, you know, if you don't align with that sort of viewpoint, if you do outbound marketing, it's very easy for you to spend a lot of money, get a ton of phone calls and a ton of leads, not really book a whole lot of patients, and then have your staff say, well, the leads just aren't good. And the reality is like, no, the leads are good. You just don't have the right people. You don't have the right structure. You don't have the right mindset to take full advantage of, you know, that type of marketing. So most dentists realize it's not really the type of office or the type of business they want to run. If it was, they probably would have got into real estate. And, you know, if you're smart enough to get into medical school, I mean, you would have been smart enough to also get into any Ivy League business school. But I think most dentists, they just want to focus on helping patients, you know, deliver great dental care. They don't want to be a used car salesman. So that's kind of the, you know, sort of like the dark side of, you know, too much outbound marketing. The last, you know, sort of negative I'll touch upon, you know, to not make this video an hour long. There's no longevity to outbound marketing. It's a bit like you're, you know, turning on a tap. Like, what happens if I stop paying thousands of dollars a month on advertising? Then it's like you turn the tap off and the water stops flowing. So basically, you're competing with your wallet. You have to keep the wallet open. You have to keep the money flowing if you want the new patient flow to continue flowing, right? And that's not a bad thing necessarily. I mean, if you're spending a dollar on marketing and, you know, you're generating $5, $10, $15 of production from it, I mean, is that really a big deal? But for a lot of offices, they kind of want something a bit more organic, something that's going to pay off long term. And, you know, outbound marketing, that's not really what it's all about. Okay, last, and, you know, I think personally the best, it's what we do as a company at RevUp Dental for ourselves, is inbound marketing. Okay, so inbound marketing is everything to do with building a reputation, you know, getting more Google reviews, getting, you know, patient testimonial videos, creating educational videos about, you know, how dentistry works, the different options you have available. Is it better to get dental implants or dentures? You know, are dental implants worth the extra money? You know, what's the difference between Invisalign and traditional braces? Is one better than the other? I mean, you know, what are my choices? It's creating great content in order to, you know, create a lot of value for patients. It's about setting yourself up as an authority, winning awards, all of the activities that encompass, you know, getting your name out there, establishing yourself as an expert, establishing yourself as a great dental office with a great reputation that, you know, delivers great dental care and treats patients really well. Now, let's talk about the advantages. So compared to, you know, all of the other marketing activities out there, I mean, inbound marketing is probably going to get you the highest quality patients. It's going to be the closest thing you'll ever find to the quality of, you know, referrals. And in some ways, it's actually better than referrals, because if you are dealing with a lot of, you know, sort of lower quality patients, like let's say you bought a practice that, you know, it's kind of was deteriorating over time. You know, you're looking to turn it around. The patients that you have in that office, the active patients, they may not be very high quality patients, and they'll tend to refer other not high quality patients, right? So there's this saying, money knows money. You know, people that are wealthy, they're willing to spend more on their dental care. They know more people that are like that as well. So if you bought an office where with, you know, what, you know, you would deem as like lower quality patients, people that are, you know, more price focused or insurance focused, generally, they're probably going to refer more people like that. So generally with inbound marketing, you're kind of positioning yourself to be almost like an Apple store. Okay, so you know how when some people buy a phone, they'll just go and buy whatever cheap Android phone they can find that's on sale. But then you also have a lot of people that will, you know, set up a tent and camp outside an Apple store just so they can get the latest iPhone. You don't see that phenomenon with pretty much any other phone brand, but you do see that with Apple. Why? Well, they built a great reputation. They built a great reputation of delivering amazing products, really well-designed products. You know, and that's kind of the same sort of approach with inbound marketing. You're building your reputation, you're building your customer service so that, you know, once a person becomes a patient at your practice, they can't fathom ever going anywhere else. The other major advantage with inbound marketing is once you build up your reputation, it continues to pay off for a very long time. So with outbound marketing, when you're paying, you know, thousands of dollars for ads on Facebook or Google or whatever, or flyers, what happens if you stop spending it? You know, all of that patient flow disappears overnight. With inbound marketing, if you build up, you know, a great reputation, let's say you have hundreds of Google reviews, you've got a wall filled with patient testimonial videos of people saying how amazing your office is and how great of a dentist you are. You've got a lot of really great content explaining different dental procedures. Like, people who come to your website get a lot of value and really good information. That's going to keep paying off and keep driving patients for a very long time. It's like you've built a magnet that will continuously draw people in without you having to continue to spend a ton of money or a ton of effort. You know, you put a lot of effort in the beginning, but it'll basically pay off for a long time afterwards. However, like everything, it does come with some very realistic downsides as well, right? So inbound marketing, the number one downside is it's slow. Okay, you're not going to build a reputation in, 6 to 12 weeks, okay? It's going to take you more like 6 to 12 months, right? So if you're doing SEO or you're getting like Google reviews or you're building content, this isn't something where, you know, you look at your results in month two and, you know, you expect to go from 10 patients a month to 20. It's not going to happen. I mean, generally speaking, it's going to take probably like 6 months before you notice that, yeah, it's definitely starting to work. I'm definitely starting to see the results. Not as in it's running full steam and you're going from 10 patients to 50 patients a month. No, but it's definitely noticeable. It's tangible. You can see that you're headed in the right direction. And it's probably going to be like, you know, 12 to 18 months before it's working at full steam and you turn around and say, yeah, this was a really good decision. You know, we're really like, you're reaping the rewards. So think of it kind of like farming, like planting food and farming your own food versus going to the store and buying something. You go to the store, you could get instant gratification. You can buy something immediately. It's more expensive. You're probably not going to get the highest quality. You might question, like, you know, is this fresh? Is this not really fresh? Whereas if you are growing your own food, obviously, you know, it takes a lot more work. It takes a lot longer, but ultimately it's going to cost you a lot less money. You're going to get higher quality products, higher quality food. So think of it like that. And if you invest in inbound marketing, it's going to take you about as long as it takes to harvest crops, right? It might take you like 6, 9, 12 months before you really start to reap the benefit out of this. And for most offices, that's, you know, they're looking for something a lot faster. They ideally want something where they can just sign a check and then somebody comes in and just sprinkles some magic dust on their practice and then they go from 10 patients a month to 50 the next month. That's wildly optimistic. You know, often we tell clients, if anyone had that, if they figured out a way to do that, ask yourself, why would they sell it to you? I mean, if I had that solution where it's like, it's pretty cheap, it works really fast, I can, you know, take a practice from 10 patients to 50 patients very quickly. The team doesn't really have to put in any effort. The doctor doesn't have to do anything except sign a check. I mean, why wouldn't I buy the practice? I could partner up with a dentist and say, let's just buy practices that are doing 500,000 to a million. We'll implement this magic solution. We'll turn the practice around very fast. We'll sell it for, you know, 3 times what we bought it for within a year. And then we'll become, you know, multi-billionaires, right? So the reality is, like, if you really want to grow your practice and attract high quality patients and, you know, build something that lasts and continues to drive value over time, it's going to take work, right? So this leads me to point number two with the downside. It takes teamwork. Okay, so whereas with outbound marketing, you just have to sign a check. I mean, you don't need to be involved in Google Ads management. You give us the money, we'll manage it for you, we'll spend the money, we'll get you the calls. But when you're doing inbound marketing, it requires teamwork. What that means is, you know, we might teach your staff how to talk to patients and how to request a review and how to, like, give them a really good experience to make sure that they really want to leave you a review. But if they don't do that, if they're lazy or if they're, you know, unmotivated or if they just don't really care, I mean, you know, think of your receptionist who just, you know, she took this job because she just needed a paycheck. She doesn't particularly care about like how well the practice does. If you have staff like that, that aren't motivated, they don't want to learn, they don't want to do anything different, inbound marketing is not really going to work. And it's the same with dentists as well. We can give you a list of things that will have a huge impact on your practice long term. But if the dentist doesn't do the work, you know, let's say we need to create some educational videos. We need to talk about, you know, different aspects of how implants works or Invisalign. We can give you the scripts. We can help you shoot the video. But ultimately, if you don't want to do it, you know, you're not going to get any results. So inbound marketing takes teamwork, and it requires a team and a dentist that are willing to roll up their sleeves and put in the hard work now so they can reap the rewards later. So in my opinion, I think inbound marketing is the best way to grow a dental practice if your horizon is, you know, 3 to 5 years. You know, you could definitely do it faster. It really depends on, it's kind of like working out in a sense. If you're willing to change your diet and, you know, eat healthy and go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week, I mean, you can achieve very transformational results within like, you know, 4, 5, 6 months. And for most people, even with like, even if they're not going hardcore, and you could still see very, very good results in 9 to 12 months if you stick with it. But unfortunately, a lot of dentists are just kind of looking for a quick fix, something that's very low effort, doesn't really cost a lot of money, doesn't really require much time. You know, and if you're, you know, that's how you're thinking, you're probably going to be better off with outbound marketing. But if you're looking to, if you're asking, you know, what's the best way to build a dental practice long term? Like, what's going to get me the highest return on investment? What's going to attract the highest quality patients? What's going to take less time and effort over time? Like, I'm willing to work hard now so I can, you know, relax later. I would say inbound marketing is probably the best way to go. And at RevUp, we use, you know, we practice what we preach. We have done, you know, millions of dollars of Google Ads spend. You know, and we've also built a lot of content, and, you know, I can tell you from, you know, tracking the results of hundreds of offices that we work with, the ones who've invested more into the inbound marketing approach, building their reputation, building great content, working together as a team, trying to always improve the customer service, trying to improve, you know, the internal operations, trying to, you know, build their reputation and, you know, get really well known for being a great dental office. They're the ones who ultimately see the, you know, highest revenues, the most stable practices, the ones that sell for the most amount of money. So I hope you found that useful. We've covered a lot. So, you know, if you have any questions, you know, leave them down below in the comment section. I'm happy to get to them. If there's any other videos, or if you want me to dive deeper into any particular sort of topic, or if you have a particular situation and you know, you're wondering, you know, should I do this or should I do that? What's the right approach? We're always happy to create more videos like this. These last two videos of how to build a great website, how to, you know, what kind of marketing is going to work in 2024, will give you a really solid foundation for, you know, what changes you can implement in your practice to like radically increase your patient flow. All of these approaches work, even with outbound marketing. I mean, if you go down the path of setting up your practice and getting the right people on the team who are sales focused, if you invest in the training, you can run an incredibly successful practice. But personally, I think, you know, most dentists, again, if you're smart enough to get into medical school, you probably were smart enough to get into, you know, business school or any kind of Ivy League, you know, any other sort of pathway. And if the goal was to ultimately run a sales organization where you just make as much money as possible, dentistry just doesn't really seem like it is the right career to go into anyways. So that's why I think inbound marketing is something that you guys should really put a lot more thought and effort in towards, and really consider it as your, you know, primary strategy for, you know, growing your practice in 2024.